The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Now let's pray as we get started this morning. Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of being able to come together today as your people. And I pray that as we look at discipleship, as we look at, again, what it means to follow you, I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us. May our hearts be open to what your Spirit may want to say. Continue to say thank you for all the things that you've already been saying through this service. But Lord, what is it that you want to say to us now, individually and corporately? We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, it's my privilege this morning to open the batting on our next three-part series entitled Our Kingdom Life. This series essentially launches our newly developed or revamped discipleship plan for our church. And I am super excited about this day because this day marks the culmination of well over 18 months of prayer, conversation and work, and it's our hope that over this next 3 weeks that you too will get excited and you'll get on board with what we are about to present to you. I want to say right up front that I don't want any of what I'm about to say or what I'm about to present to you to reflect poorly on any of our past leadership and previous discipleship endeavors. We stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before, and we are here today because of the way that we have been led. And the new, I want to say this, so I hope you get this, that the new in this church always builds on where we've been in the past. So to be honest, there is absolutely nothing under the sun. And when you hear some of what we're about to present, you might think, well, it's not new. But it might be relatively new to us. And secondly, and along those lines, we've begged and we have borrowed and we have stole. That's a confession. Stole many aspects of what we will present to you over these next 3 weeks. Many of these new endeavors or many of these new ideas we've gleaned from books, articles, through conversations with other pastors and leaders, conferences, trips to the US, and most importantly, the Word of God. And I believe the Spirit of God has used all of those things to very uniquely lead us to this new and fresh approach to discipleship here at LifeStreams South Perth. So I want to just share a little bit of the journey, share a little bit of the story of how we get here today. I think it's super important to have that history. And I want to start off by saying that probably for the last 3 to 4 years, one of the hottest topics amongst my peers has definitely been this theme of discipleship. We come together and we throw questions at each other like, is your church discipling people? Is it really encouraging people in their spiritual journeys? What works? What doesn't work? Do the old methods of the past really cut it today? And as I mentioned earlier, I went on a trip to the US in 2011. And the major theme of that trip, and I was exposed to some great churches who were doing discipleship really well. They were implementing simple pathways to intentionally disciple people. Discipleship was a major theme of that trip. And when I became senior minister at the start of last year, I had just finished a continual improvement unit in a diploma of management course that I was doing. And it forced us to think about our ministries and sit down and write a list of things that you believe, or that we believed, that we needed to improve as a church. And funny enough, discipleship made that list for me as I looked at our church. It was something I believe that we needed to improve. And it ended up being an assignment that I had to do, which was great. It meant that I could spend some time focusing on, okay, what is discipleship at Life Streams going to look like into the future? And it forced me to put together a bit of an action plan. So I had this grid and I planned it out. And we were supposed to land this a little bit earlier than what we have, but God, you know, has his timing, and it's great that we're here today. Then we proceeded to meet together as a ministry leadership team. And in these focus meetings, we prayed, we read the scriptures, we read articles on the topic of discipleship. We defined discipleship based on the Greek word mathetes, which means a follower or a pupil. We also reflected on what we had done in the past. And then we said, okay, what does a mature believer, a mature follower of Jesus look like here at Lifestream South Perth? And we listed out a whole heap of characteristics and things that we thought would describe a mature follower of Jesus in this place. And then we grabbed that, and then from there we worked all the way back and started to talk about the things that we would want to see in place that would help us build, encourage, and grow that type of mature follower of Jesus. And then we all very clearly said to each other, hey, discipleship is the primary task of the local church, and that we are all responsible for making disciples, not just the discipleship minister. You'd be happy to know that, Matt, that you don't have to disciple us all. It is all of our responsibility, all of the team, the ministry team, all people in this place. It is a responsibility of. And then from our discussions, it was agreed that the following three things needed to be a priority moving forward. The first thing is that we needed to tidy up our next steps process. Now, what does that mean? Well, that essentially means that when somebody gives their life to Jesus, somebody comes to faith, what is the simple pathway, intentional, simple pathway that helps them get on that, you know, the start of their spiritual journey? So that's one thing that we needed to do. The second thing is that we would research what it would mean to design and implement a personalized individual spiritual development plan. So that's a mouthful, and I'm gonna share a little bit more about that in a minute. But we got excited about that. Imagine if we could design and implement an individual spiritual development plan for each and every disciple in this place. We got excited. And then the third thing is that we decided that we would research, develop, and implement spiritual retreats into the life of our church. And you might be thinking, spiritual retreats? Well, we believe that retreats are super important because they actually get us out of the noise and the busyness of life to practice the spiritual disciplines in a small community in God's creation. And after having been a youth minister for the last 17 years, I don't know, but when we went on camps and when we did camps, God showed up at those times very significantly, and we're thinking, man, maybe we can use some of that. Not, you know what I mean, but I think maybe we can develop the whole spiritual retreats. And I'm going to say some more about that in a moment. And then from there, I got work trying to bundle it all up in a way that I was going to be able to, you know, communicate it to the team and communicate it to you. And my hope was like, yes, this is great. We're going to grab hold of this. We're going to run with it. We're going to implement it into our lives. And I came up with this really cool sort of flat, two-dimensional, four-quadrant, you know, rectangle with Jesus in the middle. And I used the word life because we're Life Streams, and L standard for something and represented for something, and then I, and then F, and then E. And I'm getting all pumped. This is coming together. I stand in front of the team and I put it on the whiteboard and I'm like, guys, this is the plan. This is going to work. And I turned around to my team and they're all sitting there thinking, but like, I didn't know what they were thinking. They weren't getting excited. And I thought to myself, oh man, what are we going to do? And anyway, I looked at David, and David was really struggling. And I could see he wanted to say something. And then I eventually gave him his opportunity to speak. And this is what he said. He said, I don't like it. And then he said, it's too linear, it's too flat, it's two-dimensional, and it's not organic enough. And all of us went in the room, except for me, because I'm like, oh man. All of us in the room went, yep, you know what, Dave, you're right. And we went back to the drawing board. It's interesting how, you know, just God sort of just led us along. Right around that same time, I had a senior ministers gathering. And one of the senior ministers there, Andrew Ranucci, who's the senior pastor at Coastal Church on the Central Coast in New South Wales, we sat at the table having a meal at an Indian restaurant, and he pulled out his Kingdom Life plan for his church. And he had used a picture of a tree. And I remembered my meeting with my ministry team and just how they didn't like my kind of image. And then I saw this tree and I went, that's it. The penny's dropped. And so I came back and I presented it, and I stole it from them. I came back and I presented it to the team, and we began to work on using the image of the tree, which is what you see here. You also have a picture there in your community life. And it was our hope that this tree would become the roadmap for communicating discipleship in the life of our church. And you would be very pleased to know that when I presented it to the team, Dave liked it because it was organic. And it was it's two-dimensional, but it's come alive. It's a little bit more three-dimensional. And it's interesting because, you know, this whole thing of being organic, you know, we didn't want, you're probably going to hear me say strategy and plan and design and all this sort of stuff. But the reality is we want you to see this as an ecosystem that is going to encourage you as a disciple of Jesus. Then, nearly at the end of our story, at the end of last year, we decided that one of our strategic priorities as a church was people walking in active discipleship. And we shared a number of goals, and that goal is up there for you to read if you can see it. And as a part of that priority, as a team, moving forward, was to employ Matt Sonsi as our worship and discipleship minister. And he started at the beginning of the year. He grabbed hold of all of that 12 months of prayer and reading and just dreaming about what our discipleship ecosystem would look like. And he grabbed hold of it, and over the last 6 months, he's run with it. And I'm just going to, hey, Matt, why don't you come up? I just want you to share, you know, when I was chatting to you about this and also chatting to you about the possibility of coming on team to essentially lead us in this, what was God doing in you? What was kind of like, oh, got you excited?
Sure. Okay, well, I guess for me, probably towards the middle to late last year, I'd been through a lot of stuff that had changed in my life. One of the things that I'd really felt laid on my heart, and I guess my wife had also felt laid on her heart, was the word discipleship. And, you know, we sort of thought, oh, where's this going to go? We've got a real passion for this, for seeing people grow, for seeing people just sort of flourish in their journey with Jesus. Anyway, look, that's the background for me as to where it came to. Now, I guess in that process, I'd been talking with Rod and the guys about what was happening in my life, and I caught up with Rod one day for a coffee, and we sat down, and at this stage, I was working full-time in engineering. So I sat down, we're having our coffee, and he whips out this diagram of the tree, and he starts to talk about discipleship and the passion behind it and all the stuff that he's just shared now. And for me, it really just, it clicked into place really just at that point. I thought, wow, this is great, because it's kind of personal. When you look at part of this, it's personal. And a big passion of mine is that this is personal. We're each different. We're each unique. God knows that. God knows we're all different. We're all unique. He made us. But then another key part of this is it's relational. And a thing that's been a huge growing experience for me has been that relationships just matter so much as we walk through life. The people that grow with us, the people that help us when we're struggling, the people that we help when they're struggling. And I guess most importantly, I looked at it and I thought, wow, this is... To get me to this point, God had to sort of knock my life around, let's say. And this is all the different areas that I felt he'd convicted me of. He'd shaped me in. They were all mentioned here. And most importantly, they all kind of mesh together and mesh into each other and relate to each other. So I looked at that model, I looked at what Rod had presented, and I thought, man, I'm going to have to get into this. This is just fantastic. And whatever this means as far as where my work goes, whatever this means as far as where I'm going, and I don't know if I actually said these words exactly to you, Rod, but I just thought, oh, whatever this journey means, I'm on board for this, because this is discipleship in a way that I can actually relate to in my life. This is discipleship in a way that I can feel, I can share with other people about how it kind of works and how it all meshes together. So I just thought, wow, what a way to work it, that it's all just rolled in there, personal, relational,
yep.
And just all of it growing out of tapping into the Spirit.
Yep.
That just spoke to me. Yeah.
Organic, messy.
Absolutely. Yeah. All those things that life is. Yeah.
Pathways.
Yeah.
I remember Matt ringing me up and just saying, hey, you know, you want me to do worship and discipleship. And I think he was kind of just struggling a little bit how those two things were going to fit together in the same role. And then I just felt like God said, just say to him that all I want you to do with your worship team is disciple them. And that's essentially, you just went, okay, I can do that.
Exactly.
So he's obviously passionate about discipleship. What are you really excited about as we move on? You know, we're going to present this over the next 3 weeks. What are you really hoping for? What do you see?
Oh, look, I guess I'm hoping and praying that each of us just take the time to look at where we're at in our lives, look at where we're at in our faith and say, hey, there's a couple of areas of challenge here. There's a few things that I reckon I'm on top of. And hey, there's these people that I walk with, whether that's in my groups, my friends, people I just have acquaintance with, who I also think I can just draw close to and pray with them. So I think what I hope for is that as a community, as a whole community, we take this journey together.
Yep.
We support each other. We look at how our lives are working with Christ and whether we're really drawing, I think, you know, more than anything, whether we're drawing on the streams of living water, where we're drawing on Christ.
Yep.
And that we encourage each other and support each other. I think out of that, if we can face a couple of challenges together, if we can get deeper into Christ, then we're getting on this journey. We're getting onto this and just growing towards Jesus. That's, I want to see us discipling each other and going out. I think I can't miss saying I want to see us discipling other people in our lives who aren't in here today.
Yep. It's good, mate. You hear his heart. Awesome, hey. Thanks, Matty. Right. Appreciate it, mate. Yeah, give him a clap. Thanks, mate. It's good. Hopefully, as I've told the story, you can hear how God has just kind of been sort of moving us along in this journey. Before I look at the model, so my job this morning is to take us below the surface in the image. But before we move on, I think it's really important just to talk a little bit about the kingdom of God. We've entitled this discipleship plan, this discipleship ecosystem, our kingdom life. And so I think it's important that we look at just a little bit of the kingdom of God. You know, in the song that we just sang, that new song, for the first time today, and that'll, you know, hopefully we'll get used to singing that. It'll become a bit of an anthem through this series. And maybe into our next series. Our next series, we're going to jump into 1 Timothy and spend about 10 weeks looking at 1 Timothy together. But verse 1 says, Christ is my reward and all of my devotion. Now there's nothing in this world that could ever satisfy. And though that section, there is nothing in this world that could ever satisfy, really impacted me during the week. Do you ever get the feeling? Do you ever get the feeling you just don't belong to this world anymore? Do you get that feeling sometimes? You look at what's going on. And the reality is that if you've decided to follow Jesus, you don't belong to this world anymore. We are citizens in a new kingdom. Now, Jesus began his ministry by saying, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And that's in Mark 1:15. You see, the gospel of the kingdom is an invitation to man to return to the way of life God originally intended. But God doesn't set up a standard of morality or a piece of paper where we've got to tick off boxes and then declare that when you have achieved it, you can enter the kingdom of God. You know, religion won't do it, and even being good won't get you into the kingdom of heaven. It's when you repent and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior that you are born into this kingdom and you become a kingdom resident. Jesus came to restore a right relationship back to God for us, and repentance and belief in Him is the way that we enter into the kingdom of God. And it's through living out that gospel that we bring the kingdom of God upon this earth. And it's with burning hearts that we pray in Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But there is a little catch. There is a however. Our residency in the kingdom of God actually requires us to live a new way. A new way of life, a life governed by the decrees of God's kingdom. A lifestyle of the kingdom of God is actually opposite to a lifestyle of the kingdoms of this world. In the natural world, culture governs behavioral patterns and life in our society. But you know what? We must remember that we are new creations. The old is gone and the new has come, in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He changes us from the inside out, and we desire to be more like Christ, conforming to His image and not to the image of this world. Did you know that the world says, hate your enemies, but the kingdom of God says, love your enemies? The world says, hit back, and the kingdom of God says, turn the other cheek and do good to those who mistreat you. The world says, hold on to your life at any cost. You are the most important person in this world. And the kingdom says, lose your life and you will find it. The world says, push yourself to the top. The kingdom says, serve if you want to lead. The world says, you are number one. And the kingdom says, many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. The world says acquire gold and silver, but the kingdom says store up treasure in heaven if you want to be rich. And then lastly, the world says there are many paths to God, but the kingdom of God says Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. This is the kingdom life. It's exciting, isn't it? Matthew encourages Christ's followers in chapter 6, verse 33. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first all of those things that I just listed out. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I want you to know, church, that this verse is what has motivated us to put together our kingdom life tree. So, for the next little few moments, I want to just unpack the tree metaphor, explain a little bit more about our kingdom life, our discipleship ecosystem. If you want to open up your little your community life in there, in the notes section, you'll have a picture, and I just encourage you to fill it in. The first thing that I want to talk about is above the surface. Okay, so you'll see there just in the grass above the surface. Above the surface is everything that you see. The leaves, the branches, and the fruit. And in 2 weeks' time, I'm going to spend some more time unpacking this. But essentially, this is all the stuff that we can see in our lives. It's above the surface. A tree is above the surface, and that's what you see. And the three major headings here are kingdom steward. Essentially, what that is how we steward our time, our gifts, and our resources. Kingdom servant. Kingdom servant is about serving the church and serving the world. And then kingdom sower. And that's about mission. And that's about reaching out to people by sharing the gospel and by, like we talked about last week, just simply telling our stories, because our stories are about Christ. So they're the three things: kingdom steward, kingdom servant, and kingdom sower. You will also notice that what you see on a tree is fruit. There's fruit on the tree. And a life deeply rooted in Christ will produce what? Fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit that will last. And like I said, in 2 weeks' time, we'll unpack that some more. Then you'll notice the trunk. The trunk is super important in this picture. The trunk represents the body of Christ. And next week, John Bond will chat to us about the importance of getting together like we are today, corporately, and also the important and integral part that we all play in the body of Christ. So that's the trunk. And now, with the small amount of time we have left, I want us to go below the surface. You see, below the surface is the part of the tree that you don't see. It's under the surface. It's the part of our spiritual lives that is not really on show to others. You know, we can be very crafty about just keeping all this stuff to ourselves. No one needs to know this. You know, unless somebody asks, the reality is probably don't know where Pete's at the moment, below the surface. You don't know maybe some of the things of where I'm at below the surface, because the reality is you can't see below the surface of the tree. The roots are so important, church. If the roots are unhealthy, the whole tree is unhealthy. And when a first bit of wind comes along, what's going to happen? It's going to blow that tree over. The reality is, in life, there's going to be heaps of windy moments. I'm sure that we could all testify to those times in our life when it gets windy and we're blown around. And we need to send those roots down deep, so that in Ephesians 4:14 it says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. What a great, great few verses there. Can you see the organic nature of those verses? Wind and being blown, tossed back and forth, and growing deep in maturity in Christ. So what are we proposing to do to help build strong and healthy roots that are going to go deep in Christ? Well, firstly, the first root there represents deeper spiritual responsibility. What do we mean by that? And I guess the main thing that we would like to communicate with to you this morning on this one is that you might want to write this down. This might be a revelation to you this morning, that you are responsible for your own spiritual development. You are responsible for your own spiritual development. You know, as a church and as a leadership, we will do whatever we can to partner with you and help you be all that God has created you to be. But at the end of the day, it's your call. And that's why this root is so important, because we need a deeper spiritual responsibility. So to help grow this root down deep, we've designed a pathway that'll enable you to explore on a yearly basis, maybe a 6-monthly basis, with your small groups maybe with one of us, one of the leaders, one of the pastors here, or even just with a close friend over a coffee. We've designed a conversation that'll help you identify areas in your spiritual journey that might need some focus. And then what we want to do is intentionally put some things, intentionally decide to implement some of the many different exercises that will help build spiritual muscle in you. So to wrap this one up, essentially what we would like you to do is design on a yearly basis an intentional spiritual development plan. And that's the first route. The second route is a deeper spiritual life, the one in the middle, deeper spiritual life. This one is what it's really all about. You know, if you don't get anything else today, this is super important. Growing deeper in our relationship with Jesus. Again, we are fully aware that this needs to be purposeful and intentional. This doesn't just take place. So to help us in this area, we're going to be constantly encouraging you to exercise the spiritual disciplines. And we want to put together spiritual retreats. We think that it's really important that we grab small groups together and we leave the busyness and the noisiness of this life and we head down south or we head east or wherever where there's a home and we get out of the city. We get in a smaller community where we together can practice these spiritual disciplines and we can encourage each other in these spiritual disciplines and we can do that in God's creation. So that's the second route. The third route is deeper spiritual relationships. I want you to notice that we have called this our kingdom life. It's our kingdom life. We could have easily put on there my kingdom life and made it super individual, but it is our kingdom life. We can't do this kingdom life in isolation. We need each other and we need the body to thrive and to survive. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Relationship is so important. So the pathway for this route is obviously making sure that we've got people in our lives, people in our worlds that mutually encourage us on our spiritual journeys. Someone who is discipling you, a mentor, call them whatever you will, a small group, a life group, a coffee group, or maybe just simply a spiritual mate that you catch up with. And in those spaces, We want to make sure that we are being intentional about championing each other in our spiritual journeys. That's how simple it is. And you know what? We'll do our best to help you get connected into these deeper spiritual relationships if that is something that you desire. Now, all three roots are really, really important in the health of our tree. But the two outside ones, I think really do us well. They kind of prop us up in helping us do the middle one super well. Personal responsibility and relationship with others, when those things are taken seriously, I believe they will really help us to sink our deeper spiritual life. It'll help us press into Jesus, which at the end of the day is what this kingdom life is all about. Are you with me? Three roots. Is there something else on this picture that you've seen is going on under the surface? It's the water, the streams of living water. In Jeremiah 17, verse 7, it says this, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Some incredible passage of Scripture. And it's a piece of Scripture that God gave to us when we're actually thinking about changing our name to Life Streams. Can you see the connection there? It's an integral verse in that decision to change our name. It's also a really important part of our picture, this picture of our kingdom life, because we need to tap into the streams of living water. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us and help us in our kingdom life. You know, we as a leadership team in the last month or so, we've just been praying that you don't hear this morning a seven-step self-help plan to becoming a better Christian. Because this is not our desire. This is not our heart. This is not what we want to do. We don't want to read the Bible, pray, or perform some spiritual tasks so that we can check them off the to-do list. Rather, our kingdom life discipleship tree has been designed to create space for us to enjoy company with our Lord and Savior Jesus. A pastor in Melbourne by the name of Peter McHugh, he says this, something that has massively impacted my journey. He says, acceptance before performance, but not without performance. Just let that sink in a little bit. What does that mean? Acceptance before performance, but not without performance. And what I believe it means is that we need to accept that first and foremost, we are accepted, beloved sons and daughters of God. Before we do anything, before we do absolutely anything, we need to accept that I am a beloved son of Jesus. But I need to do something. Acceptance before performance, but there's always a but not without performance. You know, you are a child of the Most High God. And before anything else, that's what you are. But you know what? You don't rock up to a marathon without having done the training. It's going to be super difficult. No amount of trying without training will get you to that finish line. Our spiritual lives are no different. And in order to thrive in this kingdom life, we need a spiritual ecosystem. A spiritual ecosystem that includes deliberate practice and training to exercise our spiritual muscles that tap into the streams of living water so that we grow strong and healthy in Christ. So what? How might we respond this morning? I've got a couple of questions for reflection as we wrap up. The first one is this. Do you desire a deeper relationship with Jesus? Just sit with that for a moment. Do you desire a deeper relationship with Him? I mean, the easy answer to that is, oh yes, of course. Of course I want a deeper relationship with Jesus. But do you really? I wonder what actions you will take. The second question is, do you need to take more responsibility for your own spiritual development? Maybe you're sitting there this morning and you're just like, you know what, I'm stagnant. I am bogged in my spiritual journey. And I need to take more spiritual responsibility for getting out of that place for my own spiritual development. Can I encourage you to chat about that? Chat about that with somebody you love, somebody you trust. And the third thing is, The third question to reflect on is, who are you doing this kingdom life with? Remember, this kingdom life is going to be difficult to do in isolation. We can't do it in isolation. Who are you doing it with? If you're not in a group, can I encourage you to join a group? If you need a mentor, can I encourage you to ask for a mentor? If you need to be discipled, can I encourage you to ask for someone to disciple you? We need to do this kingdom life together. Let's pray. Jesus, my simple prayer this morning is this. I pray that you, by your Spirit, would help us to grow into mature disciples, into mature followers of you. And I pray that you would continue to teach each of us to live